This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
This episode is also brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Father's Day is coming, and they really have everything that your dad really wants. From hand-selected gifts you won't find anywhere else, to small batch bourbons and unique craft beers. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Macy's Parade. A short film directed by professional filmmaker and Canby High School grad Cooper Fitch has been named Best Oregon Film at the Oregon Short Film Festival, which is set for this week in Central Oregon. Normally held in Portland, the festival and its 170 entries are being screened outdoors drive-in style at the historic Sunshine Mill Winery and Drive-Up Theater in the Dalles due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Fitch's 2020 film, Macy's Parade, took top honors amid a crowded field of work by gifted Oregon filmmakers, including Kitty Nuwong's August, Marissa Dingman's How Speaking About Suicide Can Save Lives, and Marissa Gregory Rue's Esperanza's Turn, which has been a force on the independent circuit this year. The film chronicles the all-too-relatable struggles of a family matriarch, the titular Macy, and her struggles to keep her family and herself together during a tense holiday visit by the kids and grandkids. Lead Linda Merrickin was also nominated for Best Actress at this year's Oregon Short Film Festival. Fitch is known for such short, honest, funny, human, and eminently relatable looks at relationships and daily life. His previous works Stuck and It's Yours If You Want It mined similar territory. Named one of the nation's top 100 film festivals, the Oregon Short Film Festival is a biannual event at the film festival circuit for filmmakers and screenwriters of all genres to showcase their creative work in Portland area. The event was founded by author and retired filmmaker Michael Fair, who worked in the film and television industry from 1999 to 2015 as a sound mixer, production manager, and field producer. For more from Cooper Fitch, hear our upcoming interview with the up-and-coming filmmaker in a future episode of the Canby Now podcast. A crew from Canby was part of a Clackamas County task force that had been deployed to the sprawling Mosier Creek wildfire in the Columbia River Gorge. Forestry officials reported that the wildfire has sprawled to over 1,000 acres as of Saturday and forced thousands to evacuate from rural central Oregon. Governor Kate Brown invoked the Emergency Conflagration Act late Wednesday in response to the blaze, ordering the Office of State Fire Marshal to mobilize an incident management team and 8 task force to the response. An employee has tested positive for the novel coronavirus at the Marquee Hope Village assisted living facility, families were informed Wednesday. In June, Marquee Hope Village was the site of the state's second largest COVID-19 outbreak at a senior care home, which eventually grew to include 112 confirmed cases and 11 deaths. Fortunately, that outbreak was contained to the adjacent post-acute rehab center. Testing in early June confirmed that the state was not spread to the assisted living home, which is located in the same building and licensed for up to 84 residents. That outbreak was considered resolved as of late July, with no remaining cases active for the virus remaining in the facility. Marquee Companies, which owns the facility on the campus of the Hope Village Senior Living Community, informed families about the new staff results in a communication to residents and their responsible parties on August 12th. The facility said it will continue to test all staff and residents on a weekly basis for the next 2 weeks to ensure the virus has not spread. The assisted living facility currently houses 69 residents and 46 staff members, Marquee reported this week. The neighboring post-acute rehab center, where the outbreak was contained in June, has approximately 100 staff members and 35 residents. Though anyone can be sickened by COVID-19, those who are older and have underlying medical conditions are at much greater risk for serious complications or death. The saga continues in Portland this week as the Oregon State Police announced Thursday that it would be pulling approximately 100 troopers back from their assignments to defend downtown justice buildings from the nightly riots in the state's largest city. The OSP contingent that had been part of a prior agreement between Governor Kate Brown and the Trump administration that led to a phased withdrawal of federal officers from Portland, something protesters had demanded for weeks after their use of force and alleged unconstitutional arrests, had drawn increasing criticism from the public and elected officials alike. OSP's decision to pull back was based, at least in part, on Multnomah County District Attorney Mike Schmidt's announcement that he wouldn't pursue any of the charges against demonstrators, including disorderly conduct, interfering with a police officer, and even in some circumstances, rioting. On Friday, House Republican leader Christine Drazen of Canby called on the governor to take action and essentially do what Schmidt said he would not. I urge Governor Kate Brown to step in and use her executive authority to appoint a special prosecutor, Drazen said. It is time for the governor to stand up for the enforcement of Oregon's laws and ensure the prosecution of those who have harmed the cause of equality. Drazen said Schmidt's decision equates to Oregon's laws, quote, being weighed in the balance of his personal political judgment. This sets an incredibly dangerous precedent, she said. These aren't victimless crimes, and the decision must not go unanswered. Violence and vandalism must not be allowed to continue in Portland or anywhere else in our state. The House Republican leader also applauded the state troopers for their service in Portland over the past 2 weeks. As troopers return to their regular duties across Oregon, I thank them for their service and willingness to stand in the gap in Portland and protect the right to protest and restore order to a city determined to condone violence, she said. Unfortunately, this isn't an end to the chaos. Canby resident Jeremy Conroy's love of classic cars began 14 years ago when he traded a used excavator for a 1968 Chevy Camaro. He fixed it up, sold it for profit, and then used the proceeds to buy another. After repeating this process 5 or 6 times, Conroy knew he was hooked. He now buys and flips 30 to 40 classic cars a year, usually at big auctions held around the country, like the ones you see on TV, he says. Now he and his wife, Denise, are channeling their passion to a one-of-a-kind project in Aurora, Conroy Classics. The 3-story building will feature apartments on the top 2 floors and on the main story, a classic car showcase for the Conroy's collection. The showroom will hold up to 20 to 25 cars, depending on how they're laid out. His main desire is just to showcase his love of classic cars to the public, though sales will be allowed if he decides to go that route. He said, quote, you know, I never intended on selling cars there. I just wanted people to be able to look at them. My wife and I, we always said we weren't going to put a building in just to get revenue. Conroy's Classics is being built on Main Street in a vacant lot that once housed a historic building. The Will Bros General Merchandise Store, owned by Anton and Jonas Will, was built sometime before 1892. The two-story building, constructed in Italianate style, later housed a funeral home until 1942. Sadly, the original structure burned to the ground in 2002. The Conroys worked with local historians and other business owners to find old photos of the original mercantile building and brought them to their architect, who has done several other projects in Aurora's historic section. She designed Conroy Classics to mirror the original mercantile building as much as possible. The coronavirus economic crisis has not altered the Conroy's plan, nor has it seemed to make much of a dent in the nation's appetite for classic cars. Jeremy Conroy didn't expect it to. The previous economic recession actually led to a boom in classic car sales, which Conroy says are even more reliable investments than real estate. The classic car market really took off in 2008 because you had all these rich developers buying them instead of the property, he says. Classic cars hold their value, and the values double about every 10 years. Conroy Classics plans to break the ground around the start of 2021. Construction is expected to take about a year. All right, police beat for July 14th through the 27th. On July 14th at 8:40 p.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the suspended driver was arrested for possession of America and Camby's favorite fun time, heroin and methamphetamine. Also, a felon in possession of a firearm will get you sent just straight to jail, as well as a Multnomah County warrant. On July 6th at 7:19, driver was arrested on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant and for driving while revoked. On July 17th at 11:41 a.m., report of hit and run damage to our least favorite thing in this entire city, parked vehicles. It was a government parked vehicle too. At 10:54 p.m., an uncooperative customer was trespassed from a convenience store. July 18th at 9:30 a.m., response to a disturbance over parking lot, one of the things that's definitely worth fighting over. At 12:16 p.m., a firearm was turned in to police for destruction. At July 19th at 7:10 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, controlled substances, and reckless endangerment. On July 21st at 12:30 p.m., response to a hit-and-run damage to parked vehicles. July 22nd at 11:46 a.m., theft of keys from a business. Earlier, I made a joke about KeyBank. I'm not going to bring it up. I just wanted everyone to know I made a very hilarious joke earlier. At 11:27 p.m., response to a report of a person vandalizing our least favorite thing in the entire town, parked vehicles. On July 23rd, we have a ringer, a whole bill of things for our good old suspect. At 12:49 a.m., response to a report of a pedestrian screaming and yelling, causing concern to the area's residents. The suspect, who was under the influence of controlled substances, was arrested for a felon in possession of a restricted weapon and carrying a concealed weapon and possession of methamphetamine and disorderly conduct, also with interfering with a peace officer. At 10:06 p.m., a suspect who had modified his appearance to avoid apprehension was arrested on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. At 11:59 p.m., response to a report of a suspect unsuccessfully attempting to remove a wheel from a parked vehicle. No theft actually occurred. However, the vehicle had been egged and scratched. I guess they just wanted to really go to town on the car. But the wheels looked good. I don't get that one. On July 25th at 4:30 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. And as all people should do while they're driving around illegally, they had methamphetamine on them and it was seized prior to the vehicle being towed. At 11:46 p.m., a bicyclist was trespassed on school property, was stopped and cited for minor in possession, and a parent was contacted. July 26th at 2:12 p.m., report of the theft of a catalytic converter. I had to triple read that one to make sure I got it right, because obviously I know car jargon, from a parked vehicle. So parked vehicles getting messed up again. On July 27th at 9:16 a.m., response to a report of debris in the road causing a hazard for drivers. Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows, you know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah. Which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers. And they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today.
All right, joining us on the Cami Conversation today are Eric and Al. Hi, guys.
Hello.
They're the hosts of the new podcast, which is at least half of it is based in Oregon City, called Potternyms.
That's right.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about your show.
Sure. Al, you want to start?
Okay.
I feel like she was not expecting that.
What do I say about myself?
Of course, I'd love to start.
Yeah.
Totally how we planned it.
I'm Al. I'm a big reader and a writer. I do a lot of freelancing gig work. Right now I've got a contract gig, which is good.
You. Good job.
While I do that, I travel the world. I'm a big traveler. So I spend anywhere from a couple months to like half the year abroad.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What are some of the places you've been to that are awesome?
Well, I've been to all seven continents, including Antarctica.
Wow.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was my life goal. I achieved it at 25, so I needed a new life goal.
Okay, so I hate Al.
Right. Right? I think I'm around 70 countries right now. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, it's what I love to do. So I've designed my life to allow me to do that on a budget.
Good for you. What job allows you to do that?
Well, I do freelance writing and other kind of gig work. And then when I'm in the States, I'll pick up a temp job or something here and there.
Yeah.
To supplement. Yeah.
I'm going to stop asking you questions. I just keep hating you more and more. Are you still able to travel with all the COVID stuff going?
I'm domestic traveling at the moment.
Yeah.
I was hoping to do some traveling later this summer or fall, but it's not looking likely.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon. Otherwise, I'm sticking with domestic.
What about you, Eric? Do you have a boring job, or am I going to hate you as well?
I have a government job.
Yay, government. Yeah,
so, you know,
I go to one place every day.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Then I go home, and then I go to the same place the next day.
Exactly. That works for me. You know, Al and I both kind of were independent spirits and real creatives growing up. And, you know, I've just recently kind of dived into having a steady job, but you know, went to school for audio production, worked in radio and for voiceover studios and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So I kind of take the role of the audio nerd, and Al is the word and word geek and book nerd, and together it kind of come together in this podcast. And it it's a fun bonding experience for us as brother and sister.
Especially now that we live on opposite sides of the country.
That's right. Al is East Coast, and I'm here locally in Oregon City.
Yeah.
So with Al's traveling schedule, I don't get to see her very much at all.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to be able to bond by making a podcast together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, I don't mean to keep coming back to the COVID days, but I mean, even people that live in the same town sometimes aren't seeing each other
exactly,
now.
Exactly,
so we're all kind of living that life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where did the idea come from to do this podcast about the what it's about?
It was my idea. I actually came up with it, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of... wasn't sure who I would want to do it with or if I really wanted to spend the time to do it.
Yeah.
I you know, I've always been a big reader ever since I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Potter was one of my faves. I've read them
never heard of
many
it?
Times, right?
Yeah.
It's such an obscure
what, Larry Potter? What was it? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was one of those going to the midnight book releases and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I've always been interested in I was an anthropology major, and with my travel, I've always been interested in different cultures and different languages. That was my kind of particular niche in anthropology was linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied you know, I speak a little Swedish. We have that heritage, and I studied several other languages in school, so I knew some of these, like the things behind some of the names and the words in Harry Potter that I don't think everybody picks up on.
Hmm.
So I was, you know, telling people this, you know, oh, you know what's cool about that character? Their name means this, and isn't that perfectly appropriate for them?
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know, that would make a really good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Eric and I were chatting, you know, back in February, March or something when COVID was a thing and we were all at home, and he was talking about wanting something creative to do to flex his audio recording skills. And I was like, well, you know, I had this idea for a podcast I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome to do it with you?
Exactly. And I was like, I've been wanting to do a podcast with someone, but I don't have a good idea.
Yeah.
So it was perfect timing and trying to, you know, take a pretty awful situation and be able to have a fun creative outlet has been really great.
Yeah. So you guys record through the over the phone then, or through Zoom or something like that, or?
Yeah. So when Al is in a place that has reliable internet connection, we do like a video chat.
Yeah.
And we'll each record our audio directly on our ends, and then she'll send her audio over to me, and that way we've got clean audio for editing. And, you know, we'll record a couple episodes at a time, and then she goes off and explores someplace, and I edit them together and get everything set up to post.
Yeah, yeah. So you described what the show is about a little bit, kind of alluded to it, but J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series, I think most all of the characters they do or have like sort of these inside jokes.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell us, you brought some stuff, I think, to kind of share with us, like a sample episode or a little bit of for folks that are like, oh, I never realized that. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was thinking to tell you a little bit about our first episode, which we did one of my absolute favorite characters, Sirius Black.
Okay.
Who is Harry's godfather.
Right.
And I think he's a criminal at first, you know, but he turns out to be a good guy.
Spoilers, Al.
I know,
good
right?
Grief.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what our Potternyms is full of spoilers. Yes. Yes. Aware.
I mean, it's been like 20 years at this point. Right? Like, you don't get to do that anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your fault at this point.
Yeah.
That's on you. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that Sirius can do is he's an animagus. He can turn into a black dog.
Right.
And that's very appropriate with his name because Sirius is the name of the dog star in the constellation Canis Major, which means the great dog.
That's so cool. Yeah, I never made that connection. I was like, oh, he's Sirius, I guess.
Right. It sounds like Sirius.
Yeah.
But it's spelled a little different. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is cool.
So it's very appropriate for him.
Yeah. And obviously, when he's first introduced and you do think he's like a murderer, I mean, it's a very like scary, intimidating name.
It is. Yeah. Sirius Black.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds evil.
Cool. What else?
Well, his nickname when he's a dog is Padfoot, mm-hmm. and that also has kind of a cool dog connection.
Right.
In England, there's a myth of Padfoot, which is a like a spectral hellhound that haunts churches and graveyards, and
yeah.
with the, you know, glowing eyes, and it
right.
can disappear into the night, and it's kind of an omen of death.
Okay.
And that's kind of incorporated into his character. It's taken as an omen of death by at some points. And,
yeah.
And he's a very elusive black dog, kind of hiding from after escaping from prison.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I knew that the legend about the black dog, mm-hmm. and I think that's even it's been a little while since I read it, but I think that's a part of the storyline when mm-hmm. Harry first sees the dog. And there's a weird.
He thinks it's a Grimm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I didn't
an
know.
Omen of death.
I didn't know they were called Padfoots, or there's a legend of that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's like what the whole podcast is her telling, and me being like what you're doing.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah.
Wow!
I didn't really ever knew that. And but then you do all the hard work on the audio side.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah. Well, you know
that nobody sees, but we believe you do it.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we, you know, what I like about Al's concept and why the podcast is really fun for me, and I think would be fun for listeners too, is that, you know, Al plays the role of the super fan.
Yeah.
And I play the fan of the Harry Potter novice.
Yeah.
Or the role of the Harry Potter novice. So
You weren't a fan? You didn't read them?
I read the first four books, I think, and I've seen all the movies, but no, Al jumped on the Harry Potter train, and I didn't for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
So
you're not cool.
You know, whether you're, you know, a super fan or you don't really know much, the hope is that, you know, you learn something cool,
yeah.
or a new deeper layer to the character or the spell name or whatever the word is of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to join myself to Team Al, because I'd read all the books as a kid as well,
mm-hmm.
Way before I even, you know, knew that there would be movies, or that was a thing that you know, studios decided we should make hundreds of millions of dollars
right.
off of these things. But anyway, speaking of the names, I don't know if there's any hidden meaning behind it. Maybe you could tell me, but Hermione,
mm-hmm.
because I'm an American kid and because mm-hmm. it was a book,
mm-hmm.
I had no idea how to pronounce that name.
Yeah, that's
and for my entire time reading those books, I thought it was Hermione.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of people did. A lot of Americans did anyway.
And then the movies came out and I'm like,
oh. That's how you say
it
that.
It literally wasn't until the movie came out.
That's how you say that.
Yeah, that I knew how to pronounce that name. But is it like a traditional British name? Or?
No, it's Greek.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in Greek mythology. There's a character of Hermione. I'd have to look back and research exactly who she is. I'm forgetting.
Yeah. But yeah. You didn't come with the notes for that one. For this episode.
We haven't done Hermione yet.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. But we do not only just people, but we're doing spells and objects.
Oh,
and
like the words
locations.
For the spells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's some cool stuff there.
Yeah. There is. Yeah.
One of my favorites, I mean, like least favorite characters, but favorite names, right, is Umbridge.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah.
That's a good one. We haven't done her yet, but yes, also fitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's on the list.
Do you have any others to tell us about in this episode?
Well, why don't I do, I can tell you about our second episode is on the Philosopher's Stone.
Okay.
Or the Sorcerer's Stone.
Right.
The title of this first book.
Yeah.
And that is actually an actual alchemical concept, a concept in alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
So ancient science, kind of. They were searching for this common element that would you know, improve health and longevity, and also turn
things into gold.
Exactly.
Because why not, right?
Turn unprecious metals into precious metals.
Because that's how science works.
Yeah,
just pick the things you want it to do, and then just find the thing that does that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's not something that J.K. Rowling just made up. It's a real thing, and it's the basis of alchemy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like Latin stuff and Greek stuff and alchemy concepts and mythological significance to a lot of the...
Yeah.
The characters
and that's what's really cool about that series from the outside as well, is you really see her grow as an author and kind of see her imagination, like from the beginning, where it's really like a lot of the stuff, like you say, is more based on legends and so, and then, you know, something she made up. And then by the seventh book, it's just like just everything is just out of her crazy brain. So, yeah. Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to hear like Dumbledore and like I'm remembering
we did
like
Dumbledore. He's great. Okay. He has so many names and they're all fitting.
Oh, he does have a bunch
Albus
of names.
Percival.
He does have Wolfric, a lot.
Wolfric, Brian, I Dumbledore.
Forgot about all those. Brian?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Oh, man. But there's not like the third. Like it's just tacked
no,
on for fun.
No, he doesn't have anything after Dumbledore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd love to wrap up, Eric, and hear a little bit from you more, and you as well, Al, but just about kind of how this has helped you guys reconnect a little bit, or kind of what you've gotten out of this process. How long have you been doing it, by the way?
Yeah, so we, you know, Al kind of came up with or kind of introduced the concept to me back just a few months ago, and we have just released a few episodes so far, doing weekly episodes.
We launched in our first episode on Harry's birthday, July 31st.
Oh,
thought
cool.
That was fitting.
Yes. Yeah. 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 The beginning of every book. The
yeah,
birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been really great. You know, I, with Al traveling a lot, you know, she's my big sister. Mm. And so she went off to college and then traveled the world and I was stuck at home. And then, all of a sudden, now I decided to move across the country here to Oregon. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really, really nice thing to be able to reconnect, even if we're not in person all the time. She just happens to be here in person right now visiting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really fun. You know, if you listen to the podcast, it's just so clear that we're just having a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, There's a lot of silly jokes and puns and laughter, along with some really cool kind of knowledge packed into these episodes. And Al does such a great job of researching them.
Yeah,
I could never do that. So I'm happy to play the role of the listener and then chime in here and there. And every once in a while, I have an insight that Al hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, definitely.
And you never forget those.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, okay, one for me, 100 for Al.
I'm like, I have no idea. Wait a second. Let me Google that.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Al, what's your favorite Harry Potter book?
My favorite Harry Potter book is Prisoner of Azkaban,
which
I don't
why?
Think is a lot of people's favorite.
No, not at all.
Well, I'm also a kind of a sci-fi fan.
Okay.
And so this has that aspect of time travel in it, which I think is kind of a fun inclusion, even though it can be problematic, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many nerd arguments on the internet over that. It's like...
Definitely.
Yeah. I wonder if J.K. Rowling wishes she had never introduced that. Just because,
could be. Yeah. Well, she had all the time turners destroyed in a later book.
Oh,
right?
Is that
so
what
she
it
could
was?
Never use it again.
Okay,
that was a mistake.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have this time travel option anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could just undo every plot with
right,
that one.
Exactly.
I'm a fan of the Goblet of Fire.
Mm,
yeah, because I'm just like just a happy-go-lucky guy, and that was the part. You know, that was such a fun book with like the Triwizard
Tournament.
Yeah, the tournament, and they introduced the new schools and stuff,
right.
And they fought dragons, and that was kind of like the last like pure like really fun adventure before it just got really dark and everyone started dying.
Serious wartime.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Cool. And Al, what's your favorite character?
Well, when I'm reading the books, you know, the first few times, Sirius Black was always my favorite character.
Yeah.
Now,
until he
looking
dies.
Back at him a little older, he's a little bit problematic a little bit. But I think my second favorite would probably be Luna.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, she turns out really cool.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's problematic now?
I always liked that he was so happy-go-lucky and an interesting character, but he's also a little bit, you know, a little bit of arrested development there, maybe.
Yeah.
He's goes out and takes risks and he can be a little bit of a jerk, you know, especially when you start seeing some of the flashbacks to when he was young and his days at Hogwarts.
Right. Not the best role model for young Harry. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's fitting. He has some very dog-like characteristics.
He does. Yeah. 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 He's loyal and protective and energetic, like a puppy sometimes.
Yeah. Harry, like really shaggy. I feel like she described him like that a lot of times, like with his long hair and stuff.
Yep.
Eric, as someone who's not the super fan and didn't even finish the series, I can't believe I'm even talking to you, but anyway, has this process, again, just for a month or so, but of revisiting and you feel like it kind of holds up like as an adult, this sort of children's series, but that has so much depth to it?
Yeah, well, that's the most interesting part to me is having not been a super fan and not a wordsmith like Al, like... these are layers I never got close to recognizing, especially growing up with the books. So it's definitely making me want to actually revisit them.
Yeah.
And I actually went out and we now have all Harry Potter books on the shelf in our living room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start rereading them because of this podcast.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So where can people find it?
Well, it's on iTunes or any of your podcatchers. Search for Potternims. It's also on Facebook and Twitter at Potternims.
Yeah.
And we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/Potternims.
Yeah, that's PotternyMs.
Yeah. Do you want to explain where that name comes from?
Well, I kind of just put together Harry Potter, Potternims, and Nims, like words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Names.
Well, guys, congratulations. I think anyone who starts a podcast is awesome. And I really love that you guys did a topic that I think is really cool, but also do it as a way to reconnect. And that's something that we all need in this time of social distancing, right?
Absolutely.
It's like the way you guys are describing it, it's kind of like a modern day like pen pal type of thing.
Yeah.
With a specific topic of conversation.
Yes. So there's never a lull in the conversation.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. You know, to wait like a week to get the response.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being on the show. And safe travels, Al, and you as well, Eric. From I don't know if you're working from home or
15-minute drive home.
Yeah. You never know; it could happen to anyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having us on. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. In a summer when many of the events Canby residents look forward to the most each year have had to be canceled due to the continuing coronavirus pandemic, one tradition that was added back to the calendar has been the 26th annual Cuts Forts Cruisin'. The popular car show will be presented in modified fashion later this month at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds. Joining us on the Canby Conversation today to discuss this year's event is Cuts Forts Market owner and Cruisin' founder, Frank Cutsforth. Obviously, it's a very different setup this year, and you kind of had to jump on it in a hurry. Has it been pretty crazy, pretty stressful?
A little bit, you know. Been a lot of encouragement going on to try to get it done, and so I think we're being positive about it and trying. I think we're going to get it done pretty well. I really do.
Yeah. You probably found a lot of support from the community in general, and I'm sure the hot rod and car enthusiast community here in Canby of wanting to make this happen. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people who want some just be able to do something, you know, and so we're being careful how we do it, and but I think it'll be successful.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit of kind of logistically what it will look like? It's obviously going to be different this year. It's more of a drive-through type experience than the normal walk-up style that people are used to.
Right. It'll definitely be a drive-through, and so we're getting set up next week with it. We have a path we're going to follow, and one thing that's concerning that we have is the food part, but we're going to have food trucks outside in the parking lot out. So we won't have food inside the place, but people can drive. People have drive through. People can go get their food too, but people can go out and get some food in the, I don't know, food carts they're going to have. But Tyler Nixon knows quite a bit about that with the fairgrounds. So they have a network of people. So that's going to go on. I just got to make it kind of fun for people. But we're going to have some little coffee and stuff like that. Gwen's going to help me out with that. Gwen's going to have a coffee area for people, the guys who show up, the gals who show up, or social distance and all that stuff, the mask and social distance, all that's part of that deal. So
yeah.
But I think people are getting used to it, and I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. The food carts that you mentioned, they'll probably be out there in that red lot outside of the fairgrounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll be lined up out there. So,
will you guys be doing food? I know that's normally a part of it is the hot dogs.
Yeah, but I didn't get it. We tried, but just like it's pretty hard to do the hamburgers and all that stuff we've done before. So just the Rotary Club done that. We just decided not to do that. The Rotarians, we kind of talked about it, and they're going to help. Some of them are going to help, but not everybody's. Some of those people want to be real careful. I want anybody that doesn't want to be around that potential to not be there. So
sure,
but we're going to have a. I think we're going to have a lot of cars. I don't know. It's just a. we just don't know.
Yeah, because you're not doing pre-registration. Is that right?
No, they're going to show up, and we'll just. We'll give them a bag when they come in, and they'll have a registration form in it, and we'll go back, and we'll buy around and pick them up.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So you won't know how big it is until that day.
Right. We don't know.
That'll be interesting.
It will be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Tell me a little bit more, Frank, about the decision to go ahead and do the event, obviously very differently and with these guidelines to help keep people safe, and also just, you know, things that you have to do because of the restrictions that are in place at the state and county level. But I know there was a real desire just to, as you even mentioned on this interview, just to do something, you know, to do something fun this summer to help bring the community together, which is something this event has always done. Can you talk a little bit more about that process?
Yeah, it's, you've nailed it. But people are, there's are a few cruisins going out, not many, but they're in Washington, they have one every night up there, Friday night up by Battleground somewhere up that way.
And, yeah.
They're getting 350 cars. It's pretty normal cruise in, actually, what I've heard. Sublimity had one down by Staten about a month ago, and they did a good job. But there's a few going on. But just then, guys want to be out. We had a small one in our parking lot last Friday. We had hamburgers and mini cruising, kind of, and we had 40, 50 cars show up with people, and they hung out till 7:30. So
yeah,
that was just kind of a put together deal, and they had a good time. So we just a lot of encouragement. People want to do, like you said, they just want to do something, and people like cars. They like to drive them, and they like
to show them off. You mean?
They do. They just like to hang out, you know.
Yeah.
So bring their chair and hang out. So we'll see how it goes. I got some friends from around the state. The three cars coming from Prineville, three really good cars, friend of mine. So he wants to come over. I got a friend from Lincoln City. We got one coming from Yakima, friend of a guy in town, and Medford. So we got a few out-of-town guys coming just to hang out. So
yeah, and that's pretty normal, right? Don't you normally draw people from even outside the state?
We do.
Yeah.
This one friend of mine from Prineville doesn't go to, he's only been once to our show, once or twice in all our years, but he's definitely called me, so he wants to support us, and he wants to come, so.
Hmm.
Anyway, so.
Yeah.
I don't tell her, we'll see how it goes, and it'll be 4 hours of fun, and let the guys push around town, maybe go to businesses, have a bite to eat afterwards, or whatever they want to do.
Yeah, yeah. So. You mentioned that what you called the mini cruise in last week. I thought that was cool because it kind of reminded me of the roots of the cruise in, how it started before it got too big, but just inviting people out to the store parking lot.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it felt to me too.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And was that the first few years? So this is the 26th year that it's been going on. I think it was like the first few years before you moved to Waite Park. Is that right?
Yep. I think we were down there about 3 or 4 years, and then we moved away from Waite, from the store parking lot.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Is there going to be music? I've heard that that was in the works. Or
We've got music as far as FM on the radio things, and I'm working on the music side a little bit. I've got some stuff lined up, but I got to be careful how I do it. I'm going to double check tomorrow actually with Lori and Fairgrounds what I do, but I can't have a big crowd of people listening to music. So,
gotcha.
We may have some music, yep, besides the FM stuff.
That's right. You're going to have a curated list of oldies playing on an FM station, right?
Yep. We'll have that for sure. Then we'll see how it goes with the other part. Make sure we're safe on that.
Yeah, kind of set the mood.
Yep.
And you also alluded to, but one thing you're really pushing this year for the cruisers is to a sort of cruise out, if you will, but encouraging them to kind of circulate, see parts of Canby that they maybe haven't seen before, and kind of rather than drawing people to one location, kind of encouraging the cars to circulate throughout the community.
Right. And maybe even go outside, you know, go to Silver to Mole Owl, or just go cruising. So another thing we're doing different is the awards. We do have we have over 50 awards given out. So, but those will be sponsor awards. So each sponsor that sponsors our cruise in is going to have a trophy in their name. So they will pick the car they like for their award. So it's all choice awards. So including the police department and fire department, and they've got an award. Mayor's got one, I think, too. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Let's just clarify, because I know there's been some confusion. So one thing this year is that the folks that are participating in the cruise, and so the people that are showing off their vehicles, there will be a nominal fee that goes to charity, but there's no cost to actually drive through and see the cars.
That's correct.
Yeah.
$10 fee for the cars to come and cover some nonprofit stuff, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Do you know where that'll go yet?
Well, we have the 5 nonprofits that usually help us, the athletic clubs at the school, and I just have to figure it out. There's a list of them, but I can't tell you off the top of my head what they are. But
sure.
Volleyball, and anyway, we're going to spread out that a little bit. Cheerleaders is one.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, that's something that people forget, but especially like the sports teams have been so wrecked by this coronavirus. I mean, obviously they can't do sports has been, pretty hard for them, but for their fundraisers to raise scholarships and for equipment and stuff, they haven't been able to do all that normal stuff that they would normally be doing throughout the school year in the summer.
True. I mean, just everything we're doing now, it's hard to raise anything for anybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited that the Cruisin' is back on. It's going to be happening later this month. It's obviously such a wonderful part of just life in Canby, and we really appreciate you guys, the Cut Sports family, and all your volunteers for working within the guidelines to still make it happen this year.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think we'll have a good one.
Yeah. So it's going to be the normal date that it was going to be, that last Saturday in August, the 29th. And what's the time, Frank?
9 to 1.
Okay.
The cars will arrive. We're going to park cars Friday night. The cars are going to be there. Some local guys and other guys arriving from 6:30 to 9, and they'll park their cars. So.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Great. Well, thank you so much, Frank.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden, so round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.